First John chapter number 1. Let's begin reading, can we? Begin in verse number 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Reading the entire chapter of just 10 verses of chapter number 1 of 1 John. This little book entitled 1 John is a sequel, actually, to the book of John. Someone has given the interpretation that this is the interpretation, rather, of the gospel account. Be reminded that John has written, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the gospel according to John, as well as 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. When we think about John, what comes to your mind as one of the disciples? Anyone? What comes to your mind when we say John the disciple? John the Beloved. Very good. Right on it. When you read the scriptures, you realize that he is a part of the inner circle. Peter, James, and John. It's always been interesting to me, however, that when we talk about the inner circle, every time that it's mentioned, Peter is always mentioned first. But it's Peter, James, and John, part of the inner circle. The beloved disciple. The Bible says in John 21, verse 7, and also in verse 20, the disciple whom Jesus loved. It appears, obviously, that he had a very intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In actuality, we discover that John's mother and the mother of Jesus, Mary, they were actually sisters. So physically speaking, they were cousins. Now we realize that Jesus Christ is God incarnate in the flesh. And knowing again that even though he took on the form of a man, he was all God. He was all man, but he was all God. And so this disciple, no doubt, is a part of the inner circle, Peter, James, and John. But also, when you look at any painting of the Lord's Supper, for example, you'll find that there's one leaning upon Jesus. Who is that? That's John the Beloved. He's the one that appeared to get closer to all, to the Lord over all of the other disciples. As we read this passage of Scripture, we've been studying the Apostle Paul's writings as we look at all of the letters. And then we've been studying 1st and 2nd Peter. We've been studying the book of James. And all of these apostles are now deceased. And we realize that John outlived all of the disciples. At the time of this writing, as we read here in this text, Peter and Paul had both been deceased at least 30 years. Something to think about, isn't it? When we think about the writing of Peter and the writings of Paul. But John here would be the one that would write the last letters or the last epistles in the New Testament. This book is written to give believers one main thing. Do you know what that is? Assurance. If you'll look on the back of your bulletin to write some notes tonight, you'll find that we've just simply entitled this series as Assurance. Assurance of Salvation. And so let me encourage you to make some notes regarding this assurance as we study, not just tonight, but for these next few weeks as the Lord would lead us. But it's not only to give us assurance of salvation, but also to encourage each of us as we grow in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter reminds us that we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. You'll notice the key verse is actually found in 1 John chapter 5. And this is a short book, but if you'll turn over to chapter 5 and verse number 13, I would like for you to read aloud with me this one verse, which is the key verse of 1 John, and it's found in 5 verse 13. May we read together. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. As you read this passage of Scripture, may I encourage you to just to circle that word, know. You'll find that word, know, at least 35, some say 36 times, but in some form you'll find the word know. Most often it's knoweth. And so we see that the Bible wants us to realize the importance of assurance, and he says that ye may know, that you may know that you have what? Eternal life. Now, may I ask, when does eternal life begin? Does eternal life begin the day we die? Not at all. Eternal life begins the day that we place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as a Christian, well, we recognize that even though the devil would come up against us, and the flesh indeed is weak, all the time, we can still have assurance of salvation. And so we find it in this text, not only the key verse, but also the key word. In these five chapters, that word know better than 35 times that we find. Now, we live in a time when there is so much uncertainty. People do not think that you can know a lot of things and that you can never know the truth for sure. As a matter of fact, when we think about our country, it's an amazing thing to me that now they're trying to go back and rewrite history. So there's a question in all of our minds, well, what is the truth? I mean, what is the truth? One thing about it, the world may change. History may even start to change. They say often history repeats itself, but how are we going to know if it's changed so much? But one thing that does not change is the Word of God. And certainly, Jesus Christ never changes. He says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, when we think about the truth that's been diminished or even altered, as we said here in America, that an ongoing debate about the facts of history or the truth of history of our nation. But our country is divided politically and morally, and we find that the majority of the people, they're not even sure what they believe for themselves. But as a child of God, I know what I believe, and I know in whom I believe. And we find in the Word of God, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. What day? That evil day when the devil comes against us. Our children have been taught that there's no absolutes. They have been clearly brainwashed in believing that there's no absolutes in life, and that most feel that you cannot even accept what a person says. As a matter of fact, most of the time it's because that person can never tell the truth. The Bible reminds us again, though, of speaking the truth in love. I believe the truth ought to be spoken. Amen. I believe it was Abraham Lincoln that said, if you're going to be a good liar, you better have a good memory. Now, if you'll just find yourself being consistent in what you're saying, you'll not have to remember what is truth. You're speaking the truth. And so we find that in this day and age, to be politically correct, they say, well, you cannot know for sure. You cannot believe, and you do not have to have absolutes, or there are no absolutes in life. And people talk about death and taxes. That's absolute. But I want you to know the Lord Jesus Christ is absolute. His word is eternal. It's from everlasting to everlasting. Have you ever heard this phrase? A man's word is his what? Bond. What does that mean? What does that mean to you when we say a man's word is his bond? I think it's just, we could summarize it by simply saying, because the man has such integrity that when he speaks, you can know that he's going to keep his word, his truth. He'll not misguide you. He'll not mislead you. His word is his bond. If he tells you or he promises you something, he'll follow through. He'll do exactly what he said he would do. Now, let's pause and think about it for just a moment. In your life, even these young lives of these teenagers that are in here this morning, has anyone ever said something to you that they were going to do, but they did not keep their word? Now, you don't have to call their name out, okay? But think about it. Has anyone ever told you something that they were going to do, and they did not keep their word? And many times when we talk to people, we'll say, well, why don't you put that in writing for me? Well, what are we saying? I don't know that I can trust your word. I want you to put it in writing. I want you to give me something that says you're going to do this. And we want to look at the fine print and all of that. Why? Because we have a distrust that for the most part, people are honest, but many people are not honest. And so we recognize that's the world in which we live. As a matter of fact, sometimes it's hard to trust anyone, especially in the world in which we live today. But when we talk about truth and we talk about knowing in this passage of Scripture, that you can know that you have eternal life. You see, God's word is true. Why? Because Jesus Christ is true. We said it a moment ago. He says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. But in John 1, verse 14, we see a description of Christ. And the Bible sums it up in saying this regarding the Christ, that he's full of grace and what? Truth. Full of grace and truth. Finish this verse for me, John 14, 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So he said, I'm not only the way, but I'm the truth. And you can count on what I'm telling you. The only way to God is through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 16, verse 3, when the Spirit of truth will come, he will guide you into all truth. That's interesting, isn't it? When he speaks of that, the Spirit of truth, who's he talking about? The Lord has already come. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit could not come until he went away. And he said, I will send you a comforter. So here in John 16, he's talking about the Spirit of truth will come. He will guide you into all truth. That's the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells within us. Now look, would you please, in 1 John 5:13, and know this. If you've been a Christian any length of time, you've discovered that this one word is the key word in this little book of 1 John, of these five chapters. That word, know, is the key word. Would you circle it if you've not done so already, or underline it? And you'll find in these five chapters, and I challenge you between now and next week that you'll read all five chapters and that you'll go through in every place that you see the word know or knoweth, that you'll just circle it or put a little line under it and count how many times you'll find this word. However, there's another key word in this text as well that gives us full assurance of salvation, and is found in verse number 14. You're there in 1 John 5. Notice verse 14. The Bible says, and this is the what? Confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Look at verse 15. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of him. So we find that word know is so important. That's the key word. But also this other word, confidence. And this is the confidence. Now, I want you to turn back, if you would please, to chapter 2 and verse number 28. Chapter 2, verse 28. Notice what the Bible says. And now, little children, abide in him, And when he shall appear, and when he shall appear, we may have what? Confidence. Confidence. Do you see that? And the Bible says, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. We can have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. There may be some that you have no confidence in. Well, let's take a little poll. How many in this room tonight would raise your hand 100% as you raise your hand that you have great confidence in the United States America's government? Would you raise your hand? Not one person. I'm looking out there in live stream and not one person out there is raising their hand either. Now know this. It's hard to have confidence in someone or some organization when they're not consistent and when they change. Or someone tells you one thing and they do another. But I promise you tonight, our confidence, our hope is not in our U.S. government. Our confidence is not in our state government. I love this country. Amen. And I love this state. But I want you to know, this is not my home. I'm just a passing through, as the song says. But while we're here, we do want to enjoy the journey. But our confidence cannot be in the government or the politics or the economy. Our confidence is not in any of that. Now, we trust they'll do the right thing. And we're commanded in the Word of God to pray for those who are in authority. Amen. And we may get on some political tangent and start fussing about everything. But I want you to know, it doesn't matter what party it is. It's all corrupt. It's unfortunate. But understand this. Like someone said, how can you tell whether... Well, I better not use that. I better not tell that story. You know what it is, right? How many attorneys do we have in the office or in the building tonight? But know this. He said, well, how can you tell whether attorney's lying or not? It says his lips are moving. But that shouldn't be said of attorneys. Maybe it's a politician. But whomever, I've already got myself in this deep hole like I'm just talking to my family or somebody else. But please forgive me and I'll go on. Amen? But keep it in mind, there are people that you cannot trust. But you can trust the Word of God. The Bible says again, you can know. And then it reminds us, this is the confidence. Notice, would you please, in chapter number 4, verse 17. No, wait a minute. There's one in chapter 3, verse 21. Let's look at that one first. Chapter 3, verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. As you see that passage of Scripture, toward God. The Greek word there, parousia, is this word confidence, simply means boldness. You can have holy boldness. Some people think, and I know I've ran into them, that people think it's presumptuous to say, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if I were to die right now, I'd go to heaven. But that's not presumptuous at all. It's taking God at His word. And the Bible reminds us that we can know. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. So I ask you a simple question. Is it God's will that man come to repentance? Is it God's will that a man confess his sin, trust Christ as his Savior? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So once a person does that, he's not being presumptive, nor is he being assumptive. He's trusting God at His word. And this is the confidence. Now look in chapter 4 and verse number 17. Chapter 4, verse 17. And the Bible says, herein is our love made perfect or complete, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in the world. One day, I'm going to stand before the Lord. And I'm going to give an account of everything done in this body, be it good or bad. I'm going to stand for my stewardship as a Christian. And so are you. Now, you're not going to stand for your sins of yesteryear. Those are under the blood. Prior to salvation, may I say, our sins are gone. Praise God, they're gone. The Bible reminds us they've been cast as far as the east is from the west. to be remembered against us no more. Our sins are gone. Would you say hallelujah? Amen. But I will stand before the Lord and give an account of my stewardship as a Christian. And it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So we will stand before the Lord. But even though I'm going to stand before the Lord, as we read in this passage of Scripture, of 1 John 4, verse 16, that we have this confidence or this boldness, as we said just a moment ago. In verse 17, the Bible reminds us here. Look at it in verse 16 and 17. And here we have known and believed the love of God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Then he says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness. That's speaking again of our confidence. That's what the word actually means. If you'll notice back in our text, verse 3 and 4, the Bible says, these things have I written unto you. He reminds us here, verse number 3. Am I right? Yes. Verse 3. Let's look at that first. That which we have seen and heard declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ. He reminds us as well in verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be what? Full. I don't know where you're at in your walk with the Lord. I don't know what's going on in your heart. I do not know what's going on in your home. I do not know how the devil is coming up against you. But I do know that the devil is as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, if you think the devil never bothers the preacher, you ought to follow me around for a week. Follow me around just for a day. The devil, he's seeking whom he may devour. He's after you. My daddy used to say, if the devil never bothers you, guess what? He already has you. So the devil's always going to be after you. But we are not trusting within ourselves. We're trusting God. Our confidence is in the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord. Our assurance is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so read it again when he says, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now, all of us have experienced in our lives some hurt, and some have been hurt deeply. But as Christians, regardless of the grief, regardless of the problems, regardless of the pain, regardless of the sorrow, may I say, we can still have the joy of the Lord. There are people that are going through a lot worse than I would ever go through, probably, and that I've ever been through. But yet, they still have a song in the heart. How does that happen? How do they do that? Oh, it's a testimony to the grace of God. Amen. But keep this in mind, that there's one thing that you cannot lose, and that's the joy of the Lord from your heart. And that is, watch this. There is one thing, however, that can cause you to lose that joy. What is that? Sin. And the Bible says, he that confesseth his sin. You see, it's about confessing it to the Lord, admitting it to the Lord. So throughout this series, John is reinforcing again what he said in the Gospel of John. And he's writing here, no doubt, to Christians, not just then, but even now. So as we'll study this passage for tonight and the weeks to come, we'll see here that he's dealing again with us as believers. All of us know, and Christ realizes, the power of Satan. And Christ realizes the weakness that we have within ourselves. And Christ also realizes how that we struggle with the flesh. And we have this attack on our faith from without, constantly. So the question is this, would you write this down somewhere? With all this being said, how do I deal with my sin? And how do I overcome my sin in my life? Now, here's the truth of this as you read this passage. If we desire the fellowship of the Lord, if we desire the joy and the blessings of the Lord, it is important that we follow these simple principles found in this text. So John says again in this passage of Scripture, these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. So why does he have the word no 35, 36 times? Why does he put in the words confidence? Again, that our joy may be full. Now, why does the Lord want our joy to be full? Anyone? Why does the Lord want our joy to be full? That we keep trusting in Him. Okay. Someone else? He's our Father. Very good. All right. Someone else? Very good. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. That's eternal life. And that you might have it more abundantly. Exactly. So He wants you to enjoy. But the question is, why? Why does He want us to enjoy this life? Why does He want us to have this joy unspeakable and full of glory? Why does He want us to be on top side? Why does He want that joy to be full? You see, the Lord's left us here for a reason. And the Lord desires, again, that we would be as lights shining in the darkness. And that others could see Christ in us. But watch this. When I have unconfessed sin in my life, I don't lose my salvation, but I break that fellowship. If I regard iniquity in my heart, David writes, He will not hear me. So I've broken that fellowship. But as a Christian, if I'm where I need to be, look, you can't stop the devil from fighting you. You can't stop, and nor can you say, I can live a life without sin. He that is without sin, let him first cast the what? The first stone. Let him cast the first stone. Look, there's none of us in this room that's not capable of sin. But the Lord desires that we confess that sin, that we give that to the Lord. That we're not talking about doing the same thing over and over and over and over and coming back over and over and over. Look, there's something wrong with that. But the devil knows exactly where your weak point is. The devil knows exactly where to come against you. And he's going to do that. Now, the teenagers are in this room with us tonight. And they realize that as they watch parents, they watch the preacher, they watch the teachers, they watch those at school, they watch those who are in leadership, and they see all that's going on, and they understand that there are some days when maybe mom and dad don't act just right. Now, maybe there's some day when the teacher doesn't act right, or the pastor doesn't act right. Maybe there's something that they're watching. And I want you to know, we need to keep a short account, amen, because others are watching our life. Our children are watching our life. These teenagers, these young children, they're watching our lives. And so He desires that we have the joy that's full. He desires that we be an overcomer. He desires, again, that we let our light so shine that others may see your good works, that you may what? Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And so it's not a difficult thing as you think about it. But there are a lot of people I know, and maybe some that are listening even tonight, that they used to be in church and they were serving the Lord and they were experiencing the joy of the Lord, but they're out of church. More importantly, they're out of fellowship with God. Miserable indeed. So what's going on? Well, the devil doesn't want you to be a strong Christian. The devil doesn't want you to have the joy. The devil doesn't want you to be a light. The devil doesn't want others to see Christ in you. Why? Because he desires that all would die without Christ. He wants to send you to a devil's hell. That's what he wants to do. But our lives matter. Our lives count. And as a Christian, knowing that I'm going to stand before the Lord one day, not for just what I've said, but how I respond, how I act. And so we read it in this passage of Scripture. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. If you get nothing else out of the lesson, underscore verse number 4. Now the question is, how can I overcome sin in my life? If I desire to be in fellowship with the Lord, if I desire to know the joy of the Lord, then I must follow these simple principles. Number one, accept the conviction of sin. Look, would you please, in verse number 6. And the Bible says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Look at verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Look at verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now, based upon those three verses alone, what does that say to us as a Christian? That we do have sin. And none of us have arrived. And so we must acknowledge when we have unconfessed sin in our life. And no one has to tell you. No one has to tell you. For the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity that lives and dwells within you, He's already notified you. He's already let you know that you're not right with the Lord. And so it's about getting right with the Lord. Now, the whole point of this lesson and Pastor going through this verse by verse, it's not to get people to doubt whether they're saved or not. Nor is it to try to put you in some guilt trip because you've had some sin in your life. Knowing this, that as a Christian, He's not saying that we're going to live a perfect life. But He does say that if we're going to be in fellowship, if we're going to bear fruit, if we're going to let our light shine, if we're going to have the joy of the Lord in our heart, we must confess that. Amen. Paul says and reminds us that he can't live this Christian life over and over again. He reminds us. And so we find John saying the same thing. So first of all, acknowledge it. Acknowledge it immediately. Now there's a difference. Would you write this down? There is a difference between the Holy Spirit's conviction and the satanic accusation. The devil wants to point his old bony finger at us all the time, does he not? And he does. But may I say there is a difference in the Holy Spirit convicting. Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, He'll convict us of sin. But the devil, he's an accuser of the brethren both day and night. He wants to tell you, you can't live it. I know dozens and dozens of people who are not in church tonight, and what they'll say is, I cannot live this Christian life. And you know what? I can't live it either. But it's Christ that lives in us. Satan is an accuser of the brethren. He wants to defeat you. He wants to defeat you. He wants to tell you, you can't live it. Look at you. You're a hypocrite. What do you think you're doing? I know what you are. You know what you are. But you don't have to stay there and live a defeated Christian life. If you have unconfessed sin in your life, then you admit it to the Lord. You don't have to go to the Pope. You don't have to go to the preacher. You don't have to go to confession. Look, Jesus Christ is our high priest. He is our advocate. That's the one that we go to, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He ever liveth, the Bible says, making intercession for us. So, not only acknowledge it immediately, but would you write this down? Acknowledge it specifically. The Bible reminds us, their iniquity, the Lord says, will I remember against them no more. Would you turn, please, to the book of the Psalms and go with me to Psalm 51. Now, David was a man after God's what? Own heart. He was chosen by the Lord. But was he a perfect man? Not at all. Did he have sin in his life? He did. And notice what Psalm 51 says. Let's get down in verse number 3. And 4, and read these together. David writes this, and he says, "For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." So it's about acknowledging it without shunning away from it or shying away from it or trying to justify it or cover it up. Not at all. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. So we acknowledge it immediately. I've sinned. I know that's wrong. God, please forgive me. And he says, I acknowledge my transgression. And my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Thirdly, would you write this down as you find here in this text tonight in verse number 9, is to not only acknowledge it and be specific about it, but confess it to the Lord. Agree with the Lord in verse number 9 of our text. Let's read it together, can we? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, did you notice something interesting about verse 9? Did you notice the plural when he's talking about sin? You see, there is the sin of unbelief, of never trusting Christ. Here he's talking about sins to a believer. Sins. If we confess our sins, what does that mean to confess? Admit. Agree. Say the same thing God's saying. Is what it is. And then he says, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, is there a difference between admission and confession? Is there a difference between admission and confession? One may admit, but not confess it to the Lord. And so he reminds us here that it's more than just admitting, it's agreeing with God, and it's confessing it before the Lord. David goes on and says in Psalm 51, if you'll notice in verse number 10, when he acknowledges sin, my sin is ever before me. Then he says, create within me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. So David reminds us in this passage of Scripture. He acknowledged it before the Lord. Our sin nature was nailed to the cross. He's talking here about the times that we have sins in our life. What is that? Well, maybe it's losing your temper. Maybe it's saying something that's unkind and not Christ-like. And maybe it's about some fleshly desire that you've given into. Maybe it's being filled with pride. Maybe it's find ourselves having anger about something, having some selfish nature or whatever the case may be. You see, that's why Paul says that in my body, that in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. There's not one person in this room, including your preacher, that's not capable of sinning. But thank God, I don't live this Christian life. It's Christ that lives in me. And when we do sin, the Holy Spirit will notify us. He convicts us of our sin. Confess it right then. You don't have to wait till you get to the altar. You can confess it right where you are. Amen? And so we recognize here this. Have you ever had somebody say this? And maybe even hear them as they're praying and say, Lord, and if we've committed any sin, would you forgive us? If we committed sin, you know, it was like, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray you, Lord, my soul to take. And if we've committed any sin today, would you forgive us? Well, how sincere is that? No, when we've committed sin, we know it, don't we? We all know it. Oh, there's so much. My mom used to sing a song. I'd go in the house, and I know Sonny and Janet have heard her sing it as well. She'd be singing, Count Your Many Blessings. Now, I like that part. Count your many blessings and name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see all that God has done. But how about counting your many sins and name them one by one? And it will surprise you what you have done. You know, when we start confessing to the Lord, the Holy Spirit will speak to our heart. So here we have the conviction of sin, and then we have the confession of sin, and coming in for a landing now, then we have the cleansing of sin in verse number 9, when he says, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we have his cleansing of our sin. And the Lord cleanses us clearly, specifically, and completely. Amen. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now notice verse 10 and we'll close. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So it's about admitting once again if we have sin in our life. Would you turn to a passage of Scripture tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll read this one together. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. and verse number 12. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There is no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." You see, God always makes a way. And God's able. You resist the devil, what does the Bible say? He'll flee from you. Let's look, would you please, James chapter number 1, verse 13 and 15. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." And James then says and gives a warning, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." All of us are capable. But immediately, when we have sin in our life as a Christian, the Holy Spirit speaks into our heart. And that's when we need to confess it. That's when we need to turn from it. That's when we need to flee from it. Thank God for God's wonderful grace. Amen. Who not only saves us, takes all my sin, cast them in the sea of God's forgetfulness. But along this journey, His grace is sufficient. And God forgives us of our sin. If you're here tonight and you're living with unconfessed sin in your life, the devil has you right where he wants you. But you see, immediately when we confess it, the Lord forgives us. Thank God for that. Amen. It doesn't mean that we have a license to live any way we want to live. It doesn't mean that, else there'll be the chastening hand of God. But may I say, it's the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells within us. And Paul writes, "Likewise, reckon yourselves also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." He goes on and says here in Romans 6, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it, the lust thereof." So it's about giving it completely to the Lord. And the Bible reminds us, "For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law. You're under grace." Now, I realize as I'm going through this lesson today that this text, boy, it's just where the rubber meets the road, right? I mean, it gets right down to where we live. But the whole purpose of this for the believer is to live a joyful life, that your joy may be full. And if the devil can prevent you from living a joyful life, he'll prevent you from being the witness that you need to be. We're an overcomer. Amen. Thank God for the promises of God. Let's stand, would you please, and ask God to help us. As a Christian in this room tonight, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. That's between you and the Lord. But I will ask you this, and you respond to the Lord. Has God spoken to your heart? Some area in your life, some sin that you must confess before the Lord? Then do that right now. Do that right now. A time in your life when you trusted Christ as your Savior. And God's been using you. But there's something missing when you open your Bible. Something missing when you began to pray. Something missing when you began to witness to someone else. The Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. And something needs to be given to the Lord. What is that? May we confess it. And let's claim the verse. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, plural, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, we come to You tonight with a thankful heart. We thank You, Lord, that You have a desire for all of us to live a victorious Christian life. You have a desire that we would know the joy of the Lord a peace that passeth all understanding. But the devil would try to prevent us from living such a life. Always coming against us. Always pointing things out in our life. Oh, we'll never reach that point of perfection until we're with the Lord. But while we're along this journey, John reminds us, Paul reminded us, Peter reminded us, all through the Scriptures, these men dealt with the same things. And Lord, may we just give this to the Lord tonight. Forgive me of my sin. And Lord, help us to name that specifically. Help us, Lord, just now to abstain from that sin. Not make provision for the flesh and the lust thereof. And allow the Holy Spirit to work in our heart. For we desire to be used by you. Lord, help folks to settle. I do pray just now. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done and for what you're yet to do in the days ahead. May we be stronger for it. May we be the witnesses that we need to be. And Lord, may we be able to say with the Word of God that your joy may be full. For it's in Jesus' name that we ask these things.